I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This is the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show with Captain Mickey Eastman. Captain Mickey has been guiding the Texas Gulf Coast waters for over 30 years and has won numerous national and local tournaments. Now, here's your host, Captain Mickey.
Good morning. Welcome to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show on this Thursday morning. I'm Captain Mickey Eastman, producing the Outdoor Show.
Good morning, Sickos. This is Robert.
Good morning, Robert. All right, sponsors for today's show, Texan Roofing, Mainstream Marketing, Boyd's One Stop, and McLean Trailers. All right, looking at weather, Galveston right now, down on the island, it's 82, feels like 92, they say. But today, 20% chance of a thunderstorm, abundant sunshine, high around 90. They're calling for those winds to be east-northeast at 10 to 20, but they are real calm out of the kind of north and northwest right now, so surf guys are going to get it again this morning. Nice, calm conditions. Looking at tonight, a few passing clouds, low around 81, east winds at 10 to 20. And then for tomorrow, partly cloudy, a stray shower or thunderstorm could be possible. High of 87, east-northeast winds at 10 to 20 miles per hour. And looking at tides for today, these are Galveston Channel tide predictions. We have a low that occurred at 2:59 a.m. at the Galveston Channel. It was an 0.1. Then our next tide is a high at 11:33 a.m., a 1.3. And sunrise this morning, 6:20 a.m. Sunset tonight, 8:21 p.m. Our moon phase is our discharge into the Trinity River right now is 41,050 cubic feet per second. That's down a little bit from the other day at 49,000. So it's trying to come down. We can just keep the weather off of us. All right, looking at wind at 4 to 7. Air temperature is 85, water temp 87. And at Eagle Point, 81 degrees with 87 degree water. West-northwest winds at 3 to 5. And at Morgan's Point, it's 81 degrees with 85 degree water with north winds at 3 to 5 miles per hour. So there it is. Looks real good this morning again. How about these nice conditions? Summer's here, though. How about the heat? We have got it. Plenty of that. All right, let's go up to Lake Conroe and get started off with the fish dude this morning, Richard Tosh. Richard, what are you doing, rascal? He's not there.
Where you at? I can't hear you.
I'm here.
Okay. Yeah, dang it, I couldn't hear you. I was sitting here looking at it. I got me some new bass assassins, them little crappie assassins. We're going fishing this morning for some crappie. I got these little, the new ones are a little bit longer. These pro tiny assassins, them dang things are pretty cool. A little bit bigger. I'm going to try different colors and stuff this morning. So that's what's happening. But man, you should have been over here with me this last week. Good night. I had a tug of war with a whole bunch of fish over there.
I saw all that, man. You got what you went for.
You're not kidding, and then some. I'll tell you what. I always tell people, you know, I want a fish that's going to make me say I've had enough. And that's one thing about them big old tuna like that. I actually on that big one, it took three of us to get it in. My wife started on the thing. She pulled on it for about 15 minutes. And then I got on there for about 30. Another buddy of mine, he got on there too. He finished her off. But dang, that song of them was big. We got that rascal on the boat, and I go, good night. And I had to hug it and all kinds of stuff.
It was bigger than y'all.
It was. That thing was about, well, I said, when I was laying down there beside it, my heels were at the tail, in the V, and then my head, it was still taller than me. It was about 6'4", and then good night, it's a big round. And then they didn't have no scales to weigh it, so we were guessing between 250 and 275. It could have been up to a 300-pounder. But, I mean, goodness. Well, I hooked up on that thing. I'm sitting there having that little tug-of-war on the front, and when I'm all hooked up, over to the side of dang, the old sailfish jumps on another line, and he jumps out of the water about 20 feet, it looked like, after he hooked up. But then, he spit it out. We had some balloons out there and stuff like that. He hit one of them balloon baits that was kind of drifting across the top. I mean, good night. We was kind of trolling around later on, hooked into a dang blue marlin, and 10 seconds it went from zero to wide open. I mean, that's something that had a half-mile line out in 10 seconds. And then, I mean, we had everything, Mickey. I ain't kidding you. We had striped marlin, blue marlin, tuna, yellowfin tuna. We had rooster fish. We had a danged old jackfish messed my thumb up pretty good.
I saw that little blister on your thumb there from thumbing it. You know, an old catfish head like you ought to know better than that.
Well, see, here's the thing, Mickey. You know what's funny is, I caught myself as soon as I did it. I knew better. I said, "Dang it!"
I know it.
We was free lining them baits, right? And I had just dumped this thing out, and we're up against some dang rocks. And I mean, literally, I just dumped it out about 10, 15 feet out with this big old live bait on that rascal. And you know, them reels, you don't just turn the handle and engage them. You gotta hit that lever to knock it into gear. And I was sitting there, I just pulled out some line, and as soon as I did it, jerked it out of my hand, and I hit that thumb on that spool, and it, that big mistake. I was trying to keep that thing from backlashing, and I thumbed it for a split second and slammed that thing in gear. And I said, that ain't going to hurt. And I went to tugging on that sucker, and that found out it was danged old jackfish. And I said, you rascal, I mean, good night. But them sung under, ooh, either strong. But, Mickey, it was the neatest thing over there because we had I've never seen anything like that where those tuna were just exploding everywhere. We pulled up on that one spot over there, and, I mean, dang it, them tuna were – there was, must have been 10 acres of tuna, and they were everywhere. And that very first one we hook up on is this, that big one. You know, we had another one about 100 pounds, maybe 110, somewhere along in there. So, I mean, that 100-pound mark – anybody that knows how much I like catching them tuna, they know I've been trying to break that 100-pound mark for about 10 years now. Finally. Dang it. I got it. That knucklehead, that don't hurt my feelings none.
Yeah, the weather and the seas look good over there too, huh?
Oh, it was great. I mean, I fished. We were over there 5 days. I was on one boat for 2-3 days, on another boat for 1 day. And I was on another one for another day. Yeah. That was actually a morning deal. I got on a whole bunch of different boats. The last day, matter of fact, we were supposed to leave, be at the airport at like 10 o'clock. I was on a boat. I was cleaning fish at 9 o'clock. That morning, we got out there in a rainstorm, and between 5 o'clock and 8 o'clock, we limited out on mahi. So, I mean, good night. Everything under the sun. And these dang old catfish, boy, they missed me. They showed up yesterday, and then we hauled them suckers out. We was keeping big ones, too.
I saw that pile you had. Those catfish missed you, man.
They did. I'll tell you what, I told them fellas, I said, you know what, we're going to get out here, and I just want to see how bad they missed me. I want to see if we can catch all big ones. Now, we had a hole. We could have been limited out, but good night real quick, like in an hour or so, but they was catching them about 13 inches, and I just wanted to see if there's any bigger ones that show up, and sure enough, they did. They said, welcome home. Let's see if these crappie do the same thing. I'm just excited to try these new little basses, because they're just a little bit longer than the regular, crappie assassins that they got. They're little bitty ones. These are about an inch and a half long, so I'm going to try them. And one of them, I'm looking at this one that says Texas avocado, and that's the best one, I think. It's kind of a black and chartreuse with a little red glitter in it.
Yeah.
Neat looking. I mean, good night. I get wound up. I get people wanting to go crappie fishing, right? So when I get out here on, I want to get them jigs going, but still hadn't got my dang active imaging on my on my Lowrance yet, and it's just killing me. They told me I won't be able to get it till like end of July or August is when that transducer is going to be coming in. But dang it, it's just driving me batty trying to.
Boy, the same get out company making all that stuff must be making all the car chips too. Boy, I tell you,
I know. Good. It is, isn't it? But I mean, you know, it's to be expected with everything we had going on last year. I mean, good night, nobody working and all that, or not any of the manufacturing, big manufacturing places couldn't work because it's, you know, they're crammed in tight spaces. They can't be all jammed up like that. So, I mean, and over there in Mexico, whenever you're traveling back and forth, you know, that they're very, very strict on that. So that's another thing. And, oh, one other thing, Mickey, and you're probably going to kill me for this one. I found me a boat in Mexico. I am so tempted to buy. I rode that boat for 2 days, and it's a nice little boat and a pretty good deal. So I'm tempted to get that thing.
What are you going to do with that once you get it?
Well, it's got the way I look at it, fix that rascal up, put some good electronics in the dang thing, and charter it out. And then whenever I decide to go over and go fishing, jump on it and take off and go.
Yeah.
Because we'll talk about the details, and you'll understand why whenever I tell you.
Right.
So, it's, you know, because I can't put that out there on there. I'll have somebody jumping in trying to buy my boat.
Yeah.
But, no, we'll talk about them details later, but I'm sure tempted because it's about $1.5 million boat, you know, and it just needs about $60,000 worth of work, and it's all good. Other than electronics, it probably needs that in electronics, in my opinion, because they done pretty much held that thing out for electronics. All they has pretty much a GPS. There ain't no bottom machine, you know, nothing like that. But you know, Mickey, I'm telling you, them tuna got my number. I love pulling on them tuna fish, but I'll tell you what, and that's where I was going with that a while ago. Any fish that'll make you want to holler calf rope, because I'll tell you what, by the time I gave that rod up, I said, somebody come take this rod or I'm just going to chunk it in the water. I mean, that's just the way it was. When you get out there on them sunguns, they'll put you down. And, you know, whenever you're standing there fighting them like that, now if you had them in the holders, like out there on Wicked Tuna when they're fighting them bluefin, they won't ever leave them out of them holders because them suckers will jerk you over. And, you know, it'll even wear you out just cranking on that handle.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
You know, it's like, I mean, that's the thing. So, you know, if you're really out there and you really want to just hammer on them, you're going to keep that thing in one of them holders and just crank, you know. But it's fun to sit there. You know, I didn't have a upper harness on that rod whenever I was taking.
Well, you're going to fight ocean creatures like that. You better work out for about 6 months, about 8 hours a day on a Peloton.
I guarantee you.
Hey. Hang on, let me pop this commercial break in here, and I'll come right back at you, Richard. Hang on, buddy. I'll be right back. Well, first, I need to tell everybody about Texan Roofing, the people I trust. You know, Texan Roofing covers Houston and surrounding areas, and Texan Roofing has free estimates on any roof leak repair or replacement. They do residential and commercial, and Texan Roofing has the Better Business Bureau A-plus rating with no complaints ever. And they're certified as a GAF Master Elite Shingle Applicator, so they can offer their customers the best material warranties available, and most importantly, a 25-year leak-free warranty. Along with their honest roof inspections, they treat customers like family with A-plus installers and A-plus management. These are reasons to call Texan Roofing at 281-391-9600. That's 281-391-9600 or texanroofing.com. That's Texan Roofing. Experience you can trust. Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. Let's go back and talk some more with Richard Tosh, the fish dude. All right, Richard, we're back, man.
But I tell you what, I'm ready to see what's going to happen. You know, them goofy rascals. I ain't tried them crappie in a little over a week anyway, but I'm ready to get on them knuckleheads. It's, you know, like I say, Mickey, and the other side of that is getting back on them dang saltwater fish. I love pulling them tunas. Like I say, it's just one of them things. I'm not, I, That's one fish I tell people all the time. If you want to figure out any muscle that you don't use, go pull on the tuna fish.
Yeah, you'll find it. You got that right.
I guarantee you. That knucklehead, he'll tell you, man, you ain't been using that muscle in a little bit because it'll hurt. And it's, but man, I'll tell you what, that was probably the best offshore trip I've ever done right there. And just in my mind, because
where did
we
you
had
stay
so
at
much,
over there in Puerto Vallarta?
Puerto Vallarta, yes. We stayed over at the Hyatt at Puerto Vallarta, even though I wasn't in the room but a couple of nights, but stayed on the boat for two nights, and then we come back in. Then we did another one that was a day trip, kind of stayed there pretty close, and then did another one where it's just literally these guys were pulling up to the beach and bringing up some jackfish trying to sell trips, and I walked down there and talked to them, and they just, you know, they do like little snorkeling tours. I mean, those guys are hustling over there. You know, they do these little snorkeling tours out of these fishing boats, and you can hire the fishing boat right off the beach for $75 an hour, and it's like, well, man, why not? Let's give it a shot. And believe it or not, those little bitty boats that are right there off the beach was probably the most fun, because that's when the last day pulled up there.
I like those little panga boats.
Right? Yep, that was it. I mean, it was the funnest little trip. I mean, they were actually, what was that boat? It was a Mako boat's what it was.
Okay.
He said like an 87 Mako, and it was like a 25-footer. Had a big wide body and big aluminum top front to back, like a little tour boat. But he had it set up with rods and reels to fish and do anything if you wanted to ride around and take tours. And he jumped out there, and in 30 minutes, we had 6 mahi off. I mean, how much better can you get than that? I mean, you pull up on the beach, and especially since it was raining and lightning, and we was out there and all that junk.
Mm-hmm.
And I was sitting there going, you know, we're knuckleheads being out here. And I got to get on a plane in about an hour and a half. And so I was sitting there going, I got to try it anyway, because I run across them fellas. And sure enough, it was a hoot. Just that quick, just boom. Because they're using them little, I don't know what them dang fish are, hardtails, whatever they are. They're about 6 inches long. And 6 to 8 inches long, and they put them rascals on there, and they just drag them around behind the boat on the free line, and them sunguns, especially on the mahi. You know, if you know the mahi, a lot of people don't realize if you're gonna catch mahi, leave one of them in the water, and you catch every dang one of them around.
Oh yeah, they just got let up, and, you know, we just you can sit there and catch as many as you want once you get them going.
Yeah, once you get them fired up, because I mean, like. I reeled in one bite just to check it. I said, I thought to myself, I think he got it. And I reeled it in, and now it's just still there. And as soon as I threw it in the water, one of them jumped on it. I mean, he must have been chasing it all the way back to the boat. But, you know, it's just, you know, it's fun catching those little acrobatic fish like that. But them dang those sailfish, like that one when I was pulling on that tuna, I ain't kidding you. That rascal, I don't know how big he was, but he was a big one because he jumped up. He had to clear 15 feet. When he come out the water,
dang!
I mean, he was up there because I'm standing up on the deck of this boat. I got that one video out there where you see me pulling on that fish.
Right.
He jumped above my head while I was standing up there on that upper deck of that boat.
Yeah.
I mean, and you could see him right there. It's like good night. And he went. He was probably 50 yards to my right. Matter of fact, in that video, you'll see my wife as it pans across it towards the end of it. That's what she was looking at, is that sailfish jumping. Because he jumped up right there. I mean, goodness. And then them things, I mean, I've never hooked into those striped marlin or the blue marlin. And matter of fact, on the blue marlin, when he hooked up, that other buddy set out on him. And like I say, he went from the time he sat down in that chair, and because we had fighting chairs on him, you could see him out there, and he'd done stripped out a half mile, and he was just steady jumping, and he kept on going south and never stopped. You know, he finally pulled the hook. Then I hooked up on a striped marlin, and that sunggun, I hooked up on him. He pulled on it a little bit. Then he come running at me. I thought he'd come off, went to cranking real hard, and he took off again. Then he spit the bait, and then I said, dang it. And I handed it rod over to the deckhand. He went to shaking it, and he come back and hit it again and hooked up again, and he went down on me. And I'm dragging, saying, uh-oh, this is a real tug of war here, and all of a sudden he cut me off. That ain't nothing you can do on that.
No.
So, I mean, but, I mean, we had a hookup on a striped and a blue marlin. We got my tuna that I was looking for. We had that rooster fish. That dang rooster fish was a goofy-looking thing. We ate him that night. But we had a bunch of sushi, too. But
did they eat good? I figured they'd be like a Jack Gravel or something. I've never.
No, the rooster fish wasn't too bad. You know, it's really not as much meat on him as I thought. And the way the guy did it, you know, the deckhands were cooking them. They actually had a chef on board. But he egg washed it and then did like a breadcrumb crust.
Yeah, like panko crumbs. Yeah.
Right. And it wasn't bad. You know, I wouldn't prefer to eat it, but it wasn't bad. You know, I was fine with that sushi. You know, as soon as we're cutting it off on that tuna after it chilled down, so it's that other fried stuff on them kind of fish. Some of it's okay, some of it's not. You know, that was not bad. It just wasn't something I'd just continuously eat. Now the mahi's different. You know, mahi's not bad.
That's real good.
Oh, yeah, you know, make some good fish tacos and stuff like that. But, I mean, it's just so many different fish. And you know, the thing is, I had to spend one day with my wife. You know, she went snorkeling and stuff with all them other wives and stuff like that one day. And that was a fun deal for her, you know. And that's fine. You know, I actually got back in the ocean for the first time. And, well, since 2010, I actually went swimming. Yeah. So, you know, after you go through that flesh-eating bacteria, you're kind of gun-shy on getting in that ocean, you know.
And I was just teasing with you when I posted on
that. Oh, I know. I know you was.
About your
go-go
boots while you're offshore fishing. I was laughing about that.
I know it. But, you know, a lot of times, you know, people don't think about that and forget about it. But, you know, I'm still a little gun-shy on it. You know, I'll get out there and I go fishing in it and stuff, but I'm going to wear them boots. And it's, you know, it's just... And the big thing about that is and my wife gets on me too, because used to I tried to wear boots that actually look decent, right? The problem is those boots and shoes that actually look decent mess my feet up more because of the graft that they had to put on it and everything. I can't walk correctly. I've got inserts in my shoes, all kinds of stuff. So if I don't have the right kind of shoe on, it actually messes up my knees and my hips.
Yeah, but you know what? So, you're fortunate. You still got a foot, man. I mean, I know
it's
what you went through.
Exactly.
But most people either lost that foot or died from it.
That's exactly
fact.
Right.
You know, speaking
exactly
of this bacteria,
right.
I got a text from one of my listeners. He's always on top of things like this. He sent me a text message about the bacteria levels in places along the beachfront. Or sky high now. And
I'm sure, especially with that water coming out of Trinity.
Yeah, the 104 is normally, you know, kind of high, but he said in certain areas, 336 CFUs.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, below 35 CFUs is low and safe, but he said the Vibrio potential is high in a lot of these areas along our beachfront right now.
Well, Mickey, that's one of the things that when I went through mine, I had a lot of time laying on the couch, laying in the bed, doing all that stuff where I couldn't do nothing. So I did a lot of research on it. And, you know, since then, I've kind of gave up on researching because there ain't a dang thing we can do about it. But what I noticed then is anytime there's a big influx of fresh water or any kind of water where it churns the bay up, it's going to be there. It's going to be more prevalent in those areas where that fresh water's churning that bottom up, or if you've got a Gulf storm that's moving in that churns the bottom up, like in where I was at in West Bay. You know, I never got out of the boat. I was in the boat the whole time. Now, me and Captain Morgan were real good friends at that time. But, you know, I stayed in the boat, and we were running crab traps, fishing, just doing this and that. And right there where chocolate dumps into the intercoastal, we had a crab trap there, and it had a bunch of junk on it. And I'm 900% positive that's where I got it, because all that mud and junk dripped on my foot. And it was July. It was the second weekend of July in 2010. The only reason it was that second weekend, because years ago, my wife and I used to go down there on July 4th weekend because a buddy of mine's got a house in Bay Harbor down there, and we go spend the weekend with them.
Yeah.
You know, kind of take a little vacation of our own, and we got through doing that. That July 4th weekend, 2010, it rained. So we said, put on, we'll just go next weekend. So we went that following weekend. That water, that fresh water was still coming in into the bay system. Had been turned up, and it, you know, just it was my turn to get it. I must not have been acting right. That's all I say. You know, somebody trying to get my attention. And that's, you know, it is what it is. And like I say, I'm real fortunate to have my leg. Really even more fortunate to be alive. I was just dying hard-headed, didn't realize it's supposed to kill me.
But, oh, well.
I mean, it is what it is. I'm still going. I'm going to go as hard as I can go till I'm 6 foot under.
I know you will. Well, Richard, I'm glad you had a good time and a well-needed vacation to go catch more fish.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you. That's
somebody
sad,
wants to come up to Conroe now and catch a little bitty fish.
I hear you
catching those pigs. How do they get a hold of you, Richard? Give them a number, man.
So Mickey, anyone get in touch with me at 936-661-7920. You can find me on Facebook. Just check out the Fish Dudes Guide Service. You can email me at admin@fishdudetx.com or just check out the webpage, fishdudetx.com.
All right, buddy. Well, Richard, I'm glad you had a good time. Hang in there, man. I'll talk to you Saturday.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Thank you, Richard. See you now. All right. That's Richard Tosh up on Lake Conroe. Well, you know, 13 Fishing's concept reels, you know what I like about them? They're sleek. They're stylish. They're just what you expect from 13 Fishing. All their new concept series reels are more than just a pretty package. They're loaded with all the great features seasoned anglers want. They feature anti-corrosion, ceramic hybrid bearings that cast like a dream, and the concept has a huge 22-pound bulldog drag system that can stop even the toughest inshore giants. And all the concept series reels from 13 Fishing boast a dead stop and a reverse system, an arrowhead line guide, and the sweetest handles you've ever wrapped your hand around for maximum comfort, castability, and control. Stop by your local retailer, demand to learn more about 13 Fishing's concept reels, or you can check them out on the web at 13fishing.com. That's concept reels from 13 Fishing. Make your own luck. Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. It's 4:34 in the Bayou City. All right, let's go down Sabine Way, or over to Sabine, and talk with Captain Bill Watkins this morning. All right, Bill, good morning. How are you?
Hey, man, I was not quite fast enough to catch that call.
Well,
I was on it, but not quite on it.
We're back.
All right, brother.
Well, what's going on? Are you in shock with all this nice weather or what?
Yeah, I'm totally in shock. But wore out from working every day. But I had a cancellation today, first time. So.
Unreal.
Yep, I'm sitting at the house today, and it's a beautiful day, I bet.
It's pretty right now. It's going to get good and warm again, but... Well, we've been getting some pretty good, depending on where you're at, some pretty good storms in the late afternoon.
Oh, yeah, we had one.
Man.
We had one a couple of days ago that was really rough.
Yeah, the one that hit you got me, and it kind of split once it got to Trinity. It tore apart and went kind of east of me and then northwest of me and split. I didn't even get a drop of rain out of that, but, boy, I got some high winds. Lord,
yeah, they got
we lost power
winds.
For 2 hours.
Really?
Oh,
they
yeah.
They had hail down here. Quarter
yeah,
five
I saw that purple over there on that radar. I go, man, that's coming right at us. That's not good.
Yeah, it rained at my house, but fortunately I was off the water and gone way before that. But
yeah,
that was a tough piece of weather. Hey. You live around here, you never know what the weather's going to deliver.
You don't.
Just be ready for anything. So the fishing has just been really good. If you're in the right spot, you're going to catch lots of fish. The jetty bite finally turned on. I got out there a couple of mornings, and it was like, you know, 18 to 24-inch trout. They look like salmon is what they look like, you know. and big old silver tide runners.
Yeah.
That's some beautiful fish and fight like the devil. It's just amazing how powerful they are. You stick one of them and you better be ready because they'll tear off the hook. They fight so hard. And we lost several like that that just, you wait a second to get the net and you done lost that fish.
Mm-hmm.
Plus I had a couple times I had some inexperienced fishermen. I just didn't know what to do with those fish. It's just a pretty awesome thing. And green water to go with it. You know, that was, I almost didn't know how to act with that.
Yeah.
I've been fishing in a mud hole so long. I mean, we've had brown clear water in the lake, but not like this. This is like 5 foot visibility of green. You know, just beautiful.
That's amazing how things turn around when that, you know, the weather calms down and let some of these areas clean up. And boy, it gets good. You know, our water's been staying pretty stirred up just because of the way the strength of that incoming tide, that current, boy, it's rolling it up really bad. It's running so hard.
Yeah, yeah, we've had some of that too. Just really strong incoming, strong outgoing. it's pretty strange. You got to be ready for anything when you fish down there.
Yeah.
Fish around those channels. One morning we had a delayed incoming tide. I still don't understand what caused that. it was supposed to, I mean, the tide said it was supposed to be high at like 9 o'clock and nothing happened until about 9. And then, I mean, it was just at a standstill. And then all of a sudden that tide started rushing in and man, it was filling up the bows and coming around the corners and, actually, it was running so hard it was stirring up the silt.
Yeah.
But, well, those fish responded to that. They bit. They bit good. And
well,
our flounder.
What are you mostly throwing at them? You still on the soft plastic kick?
I'm throwing, when I'm in the kind of dirtier water, I'm throwing that Little John.
Mm-hmm.
Something with a yellow tail, doesn't matter. Glow yellow tail, the chicken one, any of them. If it's got a yellow tail on it, that'll get you some extra bites.
Right.
When you get in the clear water, I'm switching over to a fluke style or a Little John that's clear with sparkles and no yellow tail.
Mm-hmm.
We've even used a straight lime truce, which is darn near yellow anyway.
Right.
And that worked really, really well. It's just a visibility thing. And when you get in the clear water, something clear with sparkles, red sparkles, blue sparkles, doesn't much matter, silver sparkles. Just something to catch their eye, but you know, you've got a lure that's not gonna stand out real big, doesn't make a big profile. And you can finesse them real easy with that. But the Little John, and we've used fluke style lures and down south lures. That's my three weapons in the arsenal.
Yeah.
I can catch them on one of those three in any conditions. So it's pretty good. We've been catching a lot of fish and a lot of good, solid fish. We lost our flounder bite. They moved out off the bank, and redfish too.
Mm-hmm.
You can hook a redfish on the jetty, but those that were on the shoreline in the lake, they just faded out. I don't know if they all got caught or if they just moved off out into the lake where they're unavailable to find. Whichever, they're not there. So I know a lot of them did get caught.
Well, a redfish bite got kind of spotty for everybody, but come about mid-July, they'll be schooling up in open water all over the place. Here we go. Man, where did these things come from?
That's exactly right.
You know how it works. Be out there. they can disappear on you and appear on you in a heartbeat, either way.
We've had several days That's right. We had several days that we had birds working, and then that disappeared. And some schools of shrimp came through for several days, and that made it easy to find those trout. And it was good, but then that disappeared. So I don't know where those shrimp went, but they went.
Yeah.
Moved on up into the marsh or something.
Well.
So we've got lots of options right now, but the summertime patterns are taking over.
Summer showed up, didn't it?
It did. It got hot in just two or three days.
The coolest spring and early summer we've ever had. You know, it was. We were used to that, and it was feeling good, and all of a sudden, boom, here comes the heat. And it was hot.
Yeah.
All week.
It did. It happened quickly. I remember one day it was like 92, and the wind died, and I went, uh-oh, it's here. And, I mean, yep. It just literally within 24 hours, we had summer. And then we had a couple of days in the up to 95, 99.
Yeah, we were hitting over my end. It was hitting 95 to 97 on the bay. That's hot, man.
That is hot. You'd be out there with a good breeze blowing, and that breeze dies, and you're suffocating.
That's it. When that wind quits, hottest fishing trip I ever had, a buddy of mine and I were over at Sabine one summer years back, and we'd cut through the jetty and went over to the Louisiana Surf and was fishing in there, and we were throwing topwaters and getting blow-ups, and just it was so calm. I can't even describe how calm it was, and hot, sweltering hot, and we couldn't breathe. It was like there was no oxygen in the air. And he said, man, I hate to leave fish biting. He said, let's go back in the lake. So we went back and fished in the lake and caught fish. It was way cooler. It was like air conditioning in there after leaving that beachfront and that sweltering stuff. It's crazy, man.
It's crazy how hot it can get out there.
Oh,
you get the right conditions, it just smothers you.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. You'd be taking ice out of the ice chest and putting it on your head. I've got those fine mission caps that I wear now. I put that thing in the ice chest.
Yeah, those are pretty neat.
Water.
Yeah, and put that wrap around your neck, too. That helps a lot.
Yeah, that helps, too. And I've got those gaiters that they make. I put that in the ice water, too, and I just pull it up back over my face. And shoot, that's a lifesaver out there.
Yeah, I ought to feel normal after all this mask wearing stuff.
Yeah, it doesn't even bother me.
I know it.
But I threw my mask away. That's over with.
Everybody burnt their mask like the bra, burning the bras back in the 60s.
That's exactly right. If they want me to wear a mask, I don't want to come in their place. That's it. I just can't stand it anymore. You can only take so much of that.
I'm with you. Well, cool. At least I got a hold of you this morning. Sorry you lost your trip today, but hey, you know, it's hot. Take a day off.
It happens.
Enjoy it.
It happens. That's right. I'll be out there the next 3 days if the weather lets me.
It will.
So,
I think we'll be all right.
By the time
I get
to Monday,
about that storm in the Caribbean for what, over 2 weeks now?
Yeah. Yeah,
it
just sits there. I don't.
Is it really coming?
That's okay with me. I don't care if any of them get here.
I don't either. It's like they're hoping it will. They got to have some, you know, weather talk.
Something to talk about.
Something to predict. Anyway. All right, Bill. Well, hey, I got to run. If somebody wants to get with you and come over to Sabine and get in on some of that good fishing, buddy, give them a number out, man.
409-673-9211.
All right, and our fishsabinelake.com.
Yes, sir.
And Saturday morning, if we call and you don't answer, I'll give you one more call. We'll do a backup.
Thank you, buddy.
All right, bud. See you, Bill. Have a good day. All right. That's Captain Bill Watkins over at Sabine Lake. And let's go over to Matagorda now. Let's check in with old Charlie P. Captain Charlie Paradosky, what's up, man?
Driving down to the marina.
Driving down to the marina.
Yes, sir. In fact, sometimes I'm talking on the phone, it'll kick over the Bluetooth, so if we have a quick delay, that's what it's doing. I'll forgive you for that.
Don't worry about it.
All right.
How you been, Charlie?
I'm fine. Fine. Everything that's going on over here is a surf, like everywhere else, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, our surf was, it was good for some, not for others, but we got a lot of coastline over here, and if you're not in the right spot, you're not going to catch anything anyway.
Yeah.
That's the way it works.
It's been off color, because of all that fresh water and stuff, but the people that have been driving down the beach going to the east have been having a big problem catching fish, but it all cleared up yesterday, and I think everybody caught them. I went west. I had waders and went west, and instead of going directly to the surf, and at sunup, the wind came up about 20 out of the north-northeast.
Right.
And the tides were real low yesterday morning. So all of West Bay was dirty, and I walked across the surf, but we had no problem catching the fish. None at all.
Catch any good ones? Well, they're all good.
No.
I realize that, but I mean, did you catch any big ones?
No. I had one on about 5 pounds in the top water, and he shot out of the water. I think the shark was after him, but most of them just solid 2 and 3 pound fish, just like you normally catch in the surf.
Yeah.
But it was pretty good. Seemed like that bite took off about 9 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And, of course, when I came out after walking across, you know, West Bay, with that incoming tide, it cleared up, looked okay. So I'm trying to decide whether to put the boat in the surf this morning or just go do what I did yesterday.
Right.
So,
right now it's calm. You know, the forecast called for a east-northeast wind about 10 to 20 today, but I'm not seeing it.
I think they called for that yesterday, too, but it did blow. You know, when that sun came up yesterday, it was calm, and when that sun came up, that wind came up yesterday.
Yeah, it did. It laid down up my way about, about 11.
Yeah.
10:30, 11 o'clock, started laying on down.
Same
across
here.
The board this morning, everything's north, and either north or west-northwest, real light. You know, 3 to 6. Looks good to me.
Looks good to me, too.
Heck yeah, man. What's y'all's best wind in your surf right there? What do you prefer?
Northwest.
Northwest. There you go.
Yeah. Yeah. North, northwest.
Yep. Well, that's what you got this morning.
But you can take a light northeast, you know, after once everything is cleared up and taken off. But, no, northwest is killer. And there's plenty of sharks in that surf, too, buddy. Let me tell you. I had them swimming around me the whole damn time. But, you know, they're not big ones. They're like 2.5 to 3 to 4 footers. You can swat at them with your rod and scare them off.
Oh, boy.
I had to collect the fish and drag them back to the beach. No, the boat.
Oh,
no, the boat's a long ways away.
That's right. You had to walk across. I forgot.
Yeah, and I turned around, looked behind me. There was 4 of them following me,
like puppy dogs.
Yeah, it's like puppy dogs.
Oh,
and you get
boy.
In the first gut. And there's little sharks everywhere in that first gut. So, anyway, same old
man,
stuff.
I believe I'd go by boat and fish out of the boat.
No, nope, too hot. You gotta enjoy that water while you can. You know, stay cool.
Yeah, everything's blowing off the bank this morning down your way and up here. Strongest wind is San Luis Pass is 10 out of the northwest, but everything down your way is northwest at 3 to 5.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't think you can beat that.
Nope, I'll take it.
Not for what you want to do this morning.
That's right.
What'd y'all throw at those fish yesterday, Charlie?
You know, any plastic with glitter.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I throw bass casts, 10W40. Bone diamonds seem to work the best.
Uh-huh.
Chicken on a chain, stuff like that.
So that'll work.
Solid colors didn't seem to work, and most of these fish are right on the bottom. You know, you could throw it out there, throw a quarter ounce lead head, just let it sit on the bottom and jiggle it, and one of them grab it.
Right.
But you may go out there this morning, it may be a little calm, and it may be a, you know, top water every cast. You never know.
Well, you don't. That's surf fishing.
There's so much bait, so much mullet.
Is there? A lot of mullet?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's why.
Not only in surf, but in West Bay, too. Mullet everywhere.
Shark attractant.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Those Jackson sharks going to be where that mullet's at. Well, trout, too.
I'm telling you.
That's a good world for the sharks because they got trout or mullet to eat.
Yep. Yep. And somebody told me there's been a big school of bull reds just off the beach. I mean, like acres of them.
Yeah.
Some people are out there messing with those. We got a lot of offshore boats going out right now.
Yeah, I saw a lot of snapper pictures from your area yesterday. A lot of people posting them up.
Yeah. A lot of big boats over here right now.
A lot of snapper hitting the decks right now.
Man, yeah, a lot of trout hitting the decks too, buddy.
Trout and snapper, yep.
I'm
yeah, that
you.
That catch and release format everybody was on for about a week or two. It didn't last, did it? It's dead trout everywhere. Get them all.
But, you know, it's hard. With these people go once or twice a year. I haven't taken these guys since last year. And you know, keep five trout for a cup of fish fries.
Glad the limit's five.
Yeah. Hell yes.
That helps. It
yes,
helps
sir.
A lot.
Yeah. I thought of how many times I drug. We made our walk across to that surf. How many times I used to do that when the limit was 20 trout and five reds.
Oh, yeah.
And have to drag those stringers all the way back to the boat.
Don't catch more than you can carry.
That's right.
Five is just right. You can manage that pretty good. But, you know, 10 good ones, you still got, you know, 30, 40 pounds hanging over your shoulder. That's a long walk across there carrying a stringer like that.
I'm telling you, it is, especially for an old man.
Anybody.
Yeah.
Yeah, Blaine and I, one time, we remember when we'd get those hard northerns and, boy, it'd blow all the water out of the bay, and we'd walk all the way from his house down to the spillway and wade fish all night, and we'd get our three reds, our five stripers, and those were always big. You know, that was going to be at least 50 pounds of stripers, and then your 10 trout, and we'd find a big old piece of driftwood log on the bank and tie our stringers to that and put them over our shoulders and walk all the way back to his house. I said, do we really need these fish this bad? You talk about torture.
It's tough for Blaine to throw any fish away, let me tell you.
Man, I tell you. That's it.
Yep.
Let our, you know, alligator eyes overload our mockingbird butts.
Yeah. That's right.
All right, Charlie.
It is what it is, man.
Well, go get them today. I hope you mess them up again.
We'll see what happens, Mick. We're going to give it a shot.
I know you'll be chunking at them. They better bite.
Yes,
watch them sharks, man.
Sure will.
Hey, they get nasty, especially when they're four-footers and they start schooling and just biting everything that's swimming around. That's what makes me nervous.
Well, that's when you leave.
Yeah, like chandeliers right there.
Yeah. Yep.
All right. Well, Charlie, if somebody wants to come over to Matagorda and hook up with you, man, throw them out some info.
Call me on my cell phone, 713-725-2401.
All right, Charlie. Hey, good luck to you. Be safe, bud.
Take care, Mickey.
All right, later. All right, that's Captain Charlie Paradosky in Matagorda. It's time for a break. You're listening to The Outdoor Show. We'll be right back.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.